Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, October the 18th, turning out to be a very pretty day here in the Dallas area. Today, we're going to talk about Venezuela and the United Nations. I mean, it is just absolutely insane what's happening at the United Nations over Venezuela. We're going to talk a little bit about a story that came from Mexico that El Chapo's son was apparently captured and then released. Very interesting story. And then, of course, I put a post over at the American Thinker talking about former Vice President Biden perhaps running out of money. So we'll talk a little bit about that. But let's begin just as a follow-up. Let's begin with President Trump in Dallas. I mean, his visit to Dallas was quite a show, to say the least. I mean, the crowds were huge. I've been reading things in social media from the people who were there, even watching some of the local news reporting. I mean, it was a tremendous event. I mean, there were 15,000 people inside the arena. For those of you not from Dallas, this is the arena where the Mavericks play and the Dallas Stars play, the hockey team. I mean, the place was jam-packed, and apparently there were many, many more outside. I don't have an exact number, so I don't want to throw a number out, but it was in the thousands outside. And then, of course, you know, I'm sure that the Secret Service had to be out there with, you know, that many people in a crowd in a public place. I mean, I'm sure there was quite a security challenge to keep that place protected. But it was a fantastic night for President Trump, and, you know, a lot of people talk about this great connection that he has with his voters. It's true, he does. There's no question that he connects with a lot of Americans. No question about that. But I think what makes these appearances successful, and the reason I think a lot of Americans support him, not so much because of what he says or how it sounds like or, you know, these rallies. I mean, the reality is most voters don't get to go to rallies like this, or really don't even go to rallies like this. But I think the reason that he is having the success that he's having is because he's got the results. I mean, when you have an economy humming at the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years, when I just saw this yesterday, the lowest black unemployment rate, I guess as long as they've been keeping the records, Hispanic unemployment, way down to record levels. And a new Gallup poll that just came out yesterday, and I saw this, I'm going to write something about it, over the weekend, but the Gallup poll basically saying that most Americans are actually pretty happy with the economy. That, you know, this message that somehow the country is going, you know, to hell and that everything is terrible. No. On the contrary, most people are happy with the economy. Now, I'm sure you can always find somebody who steps up and says, well, you know, I lost my job or I cannot find work. That's going to happen in any economy. There's always going to be people, even in a booming economy, who are not going to be doing well. Sometimes it could be bad luck, or your business went out of business, whatever. I mean, stuff like that always happens. But the overwhelming majority of Americans at this time feel pretty good about the economy. And that, I think, is a big plus for President Trump, and that's what makes these rallies as successful as they are. Because people look at their pockets, they look at their economy. You know, they talk to their neighbors, and frankly, everybody seems to be doing well right now. And I think that's why these rallies are so successful. He's also touching on some very important nerves. Patriotism, gun control, religious freedom. I mean, here in Texas, those are big issues. Probably so in most places also, but here in Texas, they really are. And, of course, he took a shot at Beto O'Rourke when he talked about taking away the tax-exempt status of churches who do not support same-sex marriage. I mean, that was a pretty stupid thing by Beto to say, and it's the kind of remark made by a man who's simply looking for a headline. I mean, he's desperately trying to stay around. Beto O'Rourke is desperately trying to stay around, and I understand he had a rally last night, too. I didn't see anything about the numbers at his rally. I'm sure he probably did pretty good, but I mean, nowhere near, of course. I mean, nowhere near what the president did at the arena. So This is a man who is putting results on the table. And I really believe that's the reason that he has such an emotional connection with the voters. And by all accounts, I mean, it looks to me like he's going to be reelected in 2020. Let's talk a little bit about Venezuela. I have a post about this coming out Saturday morning. As you may know, Venezuela has been in the middle of some serious political fighting. I mean, some people would call it even a civil war. I mean, the people of Venezuela are not eye to eye, let's say, when it comes to what's going on in the country. But I think everybody understands the country's an economic mess. I think that's fairly easily understood by most people. Well, anyway, the United Nations has a human rights commission or some kind of a human rights committee where countries sit there and they discuss human rights violations. And Venezuela has just been put in that commission. That is a disgrace. And this is exactly why the United Nations is such a useless organization. When they do something like this, when they simply say, okay, anybody, any country can participate. In other words, the UN's attitude is any member can be a member of any committee. Well, that's simply ridiculous. And to have Venezuela in a human rights commission, it's just an absolute, that's insanity. I don't know how else to say it. It's just total, complete insanity. So I guess they're going to go through with it because they were able to get the support of a lot of other countries. You know, Venezuela has been buying a lot of support with small countries around the world. So they were able to get many of these countries to support them and the United Nations. And they're going to be now a member of the Human Rights Commission, I guess, at the UN. I mean, that's insane. I just don't know how else to say it. Now, I remember a couple of weeks ago that there was a report that came out indicating that the UN could be running out of money here soon. And you know what? I hope it does. I hope it does, because this is a useless organization. This is, I mean, when the UN was created, I think it was created to resolve international conflicts so that countries wouldn't go to war, let's say. And I understand that. In theory, that's not a bad thing. But it's become really nothing like that at all. I mean, wars have not stopped. Conflicts have not stopped. But you do have the UN, and you have a United Nations, frankly, assembly, the UN assembly. 99% of their negative criticism is directed at the United States and Israel. And ironically, we're the ones paying like 70% of the budget. So I hope we stop paying. I really do. I hope we stop paying, and I hope that the United Nations goes broke. And then maybe some of the reasonable countries in the world, some of the democracies, can maybe set up a United Nations or United Democracies of the World, where nations that actually respect human rights can be a part of something called the Human Rights Commission. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear the music of my friend Carlos Geddes, and we'll be right back. Music of my good friend Carlos Geddes. We have a link to his website. You can check his personal story, his musical story, and at the same time find out where he's playing around town. He plays in a lot of places, and wherever he plays, the music is good, and the music is even, or the food is good, and the music is even better. Let me just say one more thing about Venezuela and the United Nations. This whole controversy with putting Venezuela and the Human Rights Commission, it reminds me of when they were going to put Iran. If you remember, they were going to put Iran, and I think they actually did. They put Iran in a women's rights commission. And, of course, there was a lot of a lot of anger about that. Well, there should be a lot of anger about this one regarding Venezuela. And I hope a lot of countries simply withhold their funding and say, no, we're not going to play in this charade anymore. Venezuela in a human rights commission, you've got to be kidding me. Well, down in Mexico, I'm sure all of you remember El Chapo, who is now, he was convicted, and I guess he's on his way to a maximum prison. I guess that's my sense, my understanding. Where he is physically right now, I don't know. He may still be in New York, because I think they're appealing the conviction, and I'm sure that there's a process for that. But he will eventually end up in a maximum prison. Well, his son, or a couple of his sons, I guess, were left behind, and they were running. They're running the cartel, I guess. They were left behind. And now you have a situation where recently there's been a spike in violence. There's really been a spike in the violence between the cartels and the police and the government. It's really getting really bloody, to say the least. And apparently there was a huge confrontation in Culiacan, which is in the state of Sinaloa, which is in the north of Mexico. And there was a huge confrontation, and El Chapo's son was captured. And the cartels basically said, we'll blow up everything unless you release him. And the government gave in and released him for fears that there would be more innocent people killed. Well, obviously, that's not the smart thing to do. I mean, the cartels are going to kill innocent people anyway, whether you release El Chapo's son or not. So I don't know who made the decision to release him. I don't know. I don't know who made the decision, but whoever did, I think has a lot of explaining to do, because this is a man who should have never been released and should have been sent to the United States like his father, because we have a warrant for his arrest as well for some of these activities. So bad move. Whoever made that move in Mexico about releasing El Chapo's son, whoever did, that was a very bad move. I have a post over at the American Thinker talking about Vice President Biden, how Vice President Biden, or former Vice President Biden, seems to be going through a lot of the campaign cash. In other words, they're spending more money that is coming in. Well, given his situation and the fact that he's dropping in the polls, and I don't think he's going to be the nominee. I used to think he was, but not anymore. What that tells me, if he keeps running out of cash, one of these days he's not going to be able to pay the rent or pay the staff. And that's going to be the end of the Joe Biden campaign. And so that may be happening sooner than expected, because some of the other people are raising a lot of money, but Joe Biden apparently is spending more than comes in. And that's probably not a good sign, whether it's in business or a household or obviously when you're running a political campaign. Well, we're going to remember today on this day in history one of the truly greats of rock and roll music, and that is Chuck Berry, who was born on this day in 1926. He was born in St. Louis, and of course he went on to have quite a musical career. He came, by the time he got around to putting songs on the radio, by the time he got around to having hits, if you will, which would have been 57, 58, he was already in his early 30s. So, compare that with others. For example, Elvis had hits when he was 20. The Beatles were having hits in their early 20s and so on. But Chuck Berry, it took him a little longer to get on the radio. It took him a little longer to start having some hits. But once he did, he had quite a few of them. And perhaps the two biggest things that Chuck Berry did, number one, I think he really made the electric guitar the instrument of rock and roll music. I mean, I'm not saying he was the best guitarist ever. I'm sure that can be a very healthy conversation or a very healthy debate. But there's no question that Chuck Berry, the way he played the guitar, was quite an inspiration to hundreds, if not thousands, of guitar players who would pick up on some of those riffs that Chuck Berry, like, Johnny B. Goode, Roll Over Beethoven, and so on and so on. So that is the biggest influence. And of course, the other one is the fact that he wrote some amazing songs that were later covered. He had hits with them, but they were later covered by the Beatles, by the Rolling Stones, by Johnny Rivers, and a bunch of other musicians. I hit the wrong button there. Sorry about that. But a bunch of other artists who recorded these songs, covered these songs, and had hits with them, like the Beatles, I say, and the Stones, and Johnny Rivers, and so on. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we'll talk to you the next time. Bye-bye, everybody.